city. So for those of us who were there on Friday, we picked up the Quiet Time series produced by the teaching ministry here. And if you weren't here, we do have those extra copies. In fact, if you didn't receive a copy on Friday but you would like one, go ahead and raise your hands at this time. One of these. If I can ask the ushers, go ahead and give them out right now. I really want all of us just to really be doing this together. For the next couple of months, we're going to be looking at 1st and 2nd Kings, and most of the lessons and messages will be coming from 1st and 2nd Kings. The Quiet Time series actually starts tomorrow. So you all have a chance to kick off on Monday, the 6th of October, with 1st Kings chapter 1. And so if you have this in your hands today, then it means you'll be able to participate tomorrow. I want to read to you a small section from the introduction. It says, one does not primarily look for doctrine in narrative passages, which 1st and 2nd Kings are narrative passages. Narrative passages usually record events, actions, speech of characters, etc., with neither a comment of approval nor of disapproval from God. They reflect the culture of the time and choices made by individuals. In the book of Kings, it used to be one book, now it's two, 1st and 2nd Kings, there's a repeating formula telling us whether a king did what was right or what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And that summary does not mean that every action and word of the king was right, respective to evil. So if you look, come to the book of Kings, you're not primarily looking for role models. David was one of the few kings who was faithful to God, and yet he was guilty of murder, adultery, lust. He had a totally dysfunctional family, comprising at least 8 wives and 19 sons, plus others not mentioned by name. His sons committed incest, killed each other, tried to usurp the throne, and he is held up as the best of the kings. So, what lessons do we learn from the book of Kings? Well, first we need to understand that the entire Bible is a book about God. And so, as we come through to the book of 1st and 2nd Kings, we're looking for themes and what we can learn about God. And there are lots of things we can learn about God. And one thing primarily, I've been reading through 1st and 2nd Kings in the last couple of weeks, and one thing that we see very clearly is just how much God is patient with us. The Israelites end up being taken off into captivity because they didn't obey God's commands, his decrees, his laws. But God gave them chance after chance after chance after chance to change and to repent. He sent prophet after prophet. And it's amazing just his incredible forbearance and patience, love, kindness, and compassion. This week, Hannah, my daughter, asked me, she said, Dad, what's your favorite Bible verse? And I said, you know, actually, it varies from time to time, and it changes. But having just been studying the book of Kings, it struck me the way that God was caring for the children of Israel just like a father. He was firm, but he was loving and compassionate. And so I said, you know, actually, the verse right now, which I would say is probably one of my favorites, comes from Isaiah 40, which again was written around the same time as the Kings. But in Isaiah 40, where he talks about in verse 10, he says, here is your God. He says, see, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. You know, I love this, the way that God treats his people, that he gathers up his children. He's like a shepherd caring for his lambs, and he holds them in his arms close to his heart. Now, that's the way God is with all of us, that he holds them in his arms close to his heart. You know, as you know, we just recently got a dog. And this little dog, she is very, very cute. She's like a little lamb, but she's a dog. And honestly, she's like a baby. You pick her up, and she'll turn over so you can rub her tummy. And you hold her in your arms, and she's like a little baby, waiting, paws outstretched, legs and paws, just so you can rub her tummy. And you're holding her like this, and it's so cute. And I think, wow, that's the way God is with us. That he cares for us. He just loves us. He showers us with love, and he wants the best for us. You know, today is our children's ministry Kingdom Kids graduation service, and so I'd actually have a very, very short message. But it struck me that I heard a quote recently. It's a woman by the name of Rita Peterson. She said, "Every child deserves a champion, an adult who will never give up on them, who understands the power of connection and insists they become the best they can possibly be." And I really like that because it really reminded me of our children's ministry. Because children's ministry, you know, our children grow up and they will flourish when they recognize that people really care about them first, primarily. And that's what it's all about. It's all about relationship. I want to show you just a very short clip from a talk that this woman, Rita Peterson, did. She was a teacher for over 40 years, and she gave this talk for something called TED Talks. But it's a short clip. She gave this talk just a few months before she passed away. But let me just go ahead and show it to you.
Some have been not so good. And we know why kids drop out. We know why kids don't learn. It's either poverty, low attendance, negative peer influences. We know why. But one of the things that we never discuss, or we rarely discuss, is the value and importance of human connection. Relationships. James Comer says that no significant learning can occur without a significant relationship. George Washington Carver says all learning is understanding relationships. Everyone in this room has been affected by a teacher or an adult. For years, I have watched people teach. I have looked at the best and I've looked at some of the worst. A colleague said to me one time, "They don't pay me to like the kids. They pay me to teach a lesson. The kids should learn it. I should teach it, they should learn it, case closed." Well, I said to her, "You know, kids don't learn from people they don't like." She said, "That's just a bunch of hooey." And I said to her, "Well, your year is going to be long and arduous, dear." Needless to say, it was. Some people think that you can either have it in you to build a relationship or you don't. I think Stephen Covey had the right idea. He said you ought to just throw in a few simple things, like seeking first to understand as opposed to being understood. Simple things like apologizing. You ever thought about that? Tell a kid you're sorry, they're in shock. I taught a lesson once on ratios. I'm not real good with math, but I was working on it. And I got back and looked at that teacher edition. I taught the whole lesson wrong. So I came back to class the next day and I said, "Look, guys, I need to apologize. I taught the whole lesson wrong. I'm so sorry." They said, "That's okay, Miss Pearson. You were so excited. We just let you go." I have had classes that were so low, so academically deficient that I cried. I wondered, how am I going to take this group in 9 months from where they are to where they need to be? And it was difficult. It was awfully hard. How do I raise the self-esteem of a child and his academic achievement at the same time? One year I came up with a bright idea. I told all my students, "You were chosen to be in my class. Because I am the best teacher and you are the best students, they put us all together so we could show everybody else how to do it." One of the students said, "Really?" I said, "Really. We have to show the other classes how to do it. So when we walk down the hall, people will notice us. So you can't make noise. You just have to strut." And I gave him a saying to say, "I am somebody. I was somebody when I came. I'll be a better somebody when I leave. I am powerful and I am strong. I deserve the education that I get here. I have things to do, people to impress, and places to go." And they said, "Yeah." You say it long enough, it starts to be a part of you. And so I gave a quiz, 20 questions. Student missed 18. I put a plus two on his paper and a big smiley face. He said, Miss Pearson, is this an F? I said, yes. He said, then why'd you put a smiley face? I said, because you on the roll. You got two right. You didn't miss them all. I said, and when we review this, won't you do better? He said, yes, ma'am, I can do better. You see, minus 18 sucks all the life out of you. Plus two said, I ain't all bad.
I love her passion and her desire for the kids to do well. You know, that's the way God feels about us. God is our champion. He loves us. He carries us close to his heart. God fathers us. And he wants us to father our kids, but he also wants us to father the orphans, the needy, the lost. He wants us to care for those who are not able to care for themselves and to really help others come to know him. You know, as it concludes in the introduction in the Quiet Time series, as we read through and understand the basic themes that run through Kings, we will pick up principles and timeless application. And as we make choices from day to day, we shouldn't be waiting for God's discipline or for a friend's rebuke or for a bad conscience to steer us, but instead, because that's what many of the kings ran their lives and their affairs, but instead we should be seeking the counsel of God, studying the Word, so that God himself can guide us. And we should pray that he reveals himself to us as we study the Scriptures. I want to encourage all of us to really get on board with the 1st and 2nd Kings series. I want to encourage all of us to have a heart and a passion to really apply the principles we learn. And I want all of us to have the heart of an adult who champions the causes of the kids. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Amen. I'd now like to hand over to Ian and Carmen. Ian and Carmen are our Kingdom Kids coordinators. So we really do appreciate them. In fact, let's appreciate them right now. That would be great. But I would like to hand over to Ian, who's going to run proceedings for the rest of the service. Go for it, Ian.
Good morning. Now, as you've heard, today is a special day in which we honour those of our children who are progressing to a new children's ministry class, and especially those who have now finished their time with us in Kids Kingdom and are now embarking on a new adventure as they join the teen ministry. It's also an opportunity to thank many of you who give your time and effort to serve in this ministry, including our teaching team, and many of you who have so enthusiastically assisted in classes, whether during our yearly rotas or as part of our kind of special ops backup team of helpers that we need occasionally. I would like to thank you parents for your support and the hard work which you put into raising your children. In the spirit of calling us to be more like Jesus, I would like to ask you one question. What do you want God to do for your children? In Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, you don't need to turn there, but you can if you want. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. Now this mother, she had a very specific goal in mind for her children. A very grand goal. She was totally unafraid to approach Jesus and say, this is what I want. This is what I want you for my children. And in a way, you know, having goals, I mean, absolutely, having goals for our children is a good thing. It's if you don't have any goals and you're just happy for Kids Kingdom to look after your children, you know, to give you a bit of a break in the service, or happy for them to be entertained, you know, playing video games at home or whatever, and just keep staying out of your way, that's not so good. You know, it's good to have a goal. How do you want them to be progressing as they grow older and more mature? Now, this mother had a very specific goal, maybe you do have goals, but like this mother, are you seeking maybe the glory for your children or the respect of others for your children? perhaps by, you know, maybe it's really important to you that they succeed academically. You know, and that they've got to get into the right school, they've got to get straight A's, they've got to do all these sorts of things. They've got to make a real success of themselves. And yet Jesus here, you know, in verse, a little bit further down in verse 26, Jesus told the disciples who were indignant with the sons of Zebedee, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So I think the challenge for us, yeah, if you don't have a goal for your children, think about, you know, how do you want them to grow up? You know, don't just live life unintentionally. Have a plan. If you have goals for your children, you know, check your hearts, check the scriptures, and are those goals really in line with God's kingdom? Are they really calling your children to be more like Christ, or are you just pursuing worldly goals? So let's be asking God for good things, and we have that privilege, so, you know, let's be praying for these things. Right, at this time, I want to call some of our teachers to the stage so that we can present certificates to the children who are moving to new classes. First, could I ask Ben Whitworth to come here? Now, Ben will be presenting certificates to the Year 5 and 6 children who will be moving to the preteen Year 7 and 8 class. Those children are Salem Bill, if we could just hold our applause till the end so I can get there, say the names. Rihanna De Freitas, Jesse Julius, and Taya May O'Neill. Now, if I could ask Kevin to come to the stage also. And can I ask Bobby Joe Collins and Ellis Mangan to come forward? They are moving from the Year 3 and 4 class to the Year 5 and 6 class. Could I ask Joy to come to this stage, please? Joy is our Year 3 and 4 teacher. If the following people could come up, who are moving from her class to... she's our 1 and 2 teacher. They're moving to the 3 and 4 class. If I could ask Lamar Abucci, Christian Sultanti, Joseph Tucker, and Libby Whitworth to come forward. Now, if I could ask Aisha to come forward, please. Now, Aisha teaches the reception class, and so there's a big group of children moving from the reception class to the Year 1 and 2 class. So please pray for the teachers of the Year 1 and 2 class, because they will have many more children in their class. Okay, and those children are Zikora Abucci, Bronwyn Apolloni, Kimora Beecher, Liam De Freitas, Jude Emmanuel, Marissa Emmanuel, Kanayo Igbomwoke, Alexandra Krenek, and Brandy Miracle. Now, we have had some changes in the teaching team this year. Just want to inform you of. You're probably aware anyway, but I'll let you know. This year, Diana Critchlow and Kathy Newbeging have decided to take a break after many years of service in Kids Kingdom. And, taking a well-earned break. In their place, we have gained Amanda Thompson and Ruth Collins as new teachers for reception and year 3 and 4. Rebecca Ante also stepped in at a really key time to teach the year 7 and 8 class in our dear brother Bio's place, for which we are very grateful. And recently, Mark, very unpronounceable surname, Modzelewski, did I get that right? Modzelewski, I think he calls it, has joined us as a new teacher to take things forward with the preteens. Now, at this time, we would like to present all the teachers who have served in the last year with a small and edible token of our gratitude. For the teachers age 4 and 5, that's Diane Cundale, Aisha Ahmed, Amanda Thompson, and Diana Critchlow. For year 1 and 2, the teachers were Amanda Salma, Joy Powell, and Felicia Emmanuel. For year 3 and 4, the teachers are Kevin Cundale, Kay Harney, Ruth Collins, and Kathy Newbegin. And for year 5 and 6, Ben Whitworth, Martin Salma Yelsh, and Randall Porter. And finally, year 7 and 8, Leslie Chimwezi, Jack Corson, Mark Modzelewski, and Rebecca Ante. This year we've been very fortunate to have Vanessa White take some photos in the classes to give you some insight into what your children have been getting up to in their classes. So, before handing over to Leslie Chimwezi for the preteen graduation, please enjoy a brief slideshow that we've put together. Thank you for your continued support, and let us praise God that he's given us everything we need for an excellent children's ministry in the East.
Okay, that was just so great. Difficult act to follow, and there was a dry eye in the house.
Right.
If I can have Mark Majalowski and Jack Corson, if you are around, please, just come up. Okay. So we have the privilege of teaching the Year 7 and 8 class, and it's a bittersweet time for us because we say goodbye to the Year 8. They will be moving to the teen ministry, and their time in Kids Kingdom has come to an end. So I'd like to invite Marcus Cameron, Rose Newbegin, Roy Zhao, Connor Condale, Bowen Sauerma, Maria Tucker, and Daniel Adesina up here. Now, a lot of these children have been in Kids Kingdom since they're about 3 or 4 years of age. So it's a big thing. They're now going to be in the service. They're going to hear the Word of God preached from the pulpit. They're going to be hearing the communion talked about, as Randall did powerfully today. They're going to be fellowshipping at the back. They'll be going to teen camp. But most importantly, they can get to the tea and biscuits before anyone else in Kids Kingdom. We have no doubt as teachers that they are ready for the next step in their lives and for what God is going to do for them. And I'd especially like to thank all the people who've helped us in the Year 7 and 8 classes, and also say a big thank you to Sandra Zilo and our dear brother, the late Bio Jetnamobi, because it was their hard work with this group and their passion and their sacrifice and dedication which really inspired me to want to help. And what you see today is really a product of their hard work as well. As teachers, we could tell you all about the children and their wonderful attributes, but rather than hear from boring old adults, we thought it'd be great if they would share about each other themselves. So you're going to be hearing from them in a few seconds. And so I'm just going to ask, first of all, Marcus to take the mic. So they're going to be sharing about each other and just the relationships they have built over the time they have been in Kids Kingdom together.
Hi, I'm Marcus, if you don't know me. I'd like to invite Roy up. So I've known Roy for just over a year now, and he's changed a lot, and that's because he was doing the natural thing when he'd first come to a new place. He was quiet, didn't contribute a lot. But over the last year, a huge change has occurred, and now he's a much more talkative person. He's friendly, and he's just a nice friend to be around.
I am going to talk about two people. First, can I invite Bowen, please? When I first met Bowen, I thought he was quite weird, in a good way. In the best way possible. And, I wasn't as confident to go and see him because he was, quite bouncy. But as I got to know him more and more, I felt like he can be sensitive, but then he can also be fun. And he is just one of those people that if you need him to be, he will be there for you. So that's Bowen. And then next, Maria, can you? Now, I've known Maria for about 4 or 5 years. When I first came to this church, about 5 or 6 years ago, as soon as I met her, I knew we would be friends forever, just instantly. When I was having problems at home when Asher was very ill, Maria would always be there for me. And when I needed someone, when I needed a shoulder to cry on or someone just to talk to, I know I could trust her. She was always someone I could trust, and I could just count on her. One time in class when Asher was having a spasm attack, and all I wanted to do was help him, but I knew that he wouldn't really want me to, because I didn't really understand how he was feeling. But Maria would always, she didn't even need to look at me, she would always be there, and she would always know how I was feeling. So thanks, Maria.
Hello, is this working? Okay. So I've only been here for maybe a year or so, but I already feel as if like I know everyone here like much better. They're like one of some of the most important people in my life. And so yeah, I wrote about Connor, if you could. And yeah, I chose to write about Connor because he's like always really polite. He's really happy all the time, and always smiling. And he's never like down or sad, and no matter how he feels, he'll always be there for you. And he's a really good friend, always polite, everything you could want in a friend.
Hello, so I'm going to first talk about Marcus. So I've known Marcus for many years, and I'm also lucky enough to have him in loads of my classes at school. And the thing I love about Marcus the most is how funny he is and how he's always encouraging, and he always livens up the atmosphere in our class. And he's always just so enthusiastic, and he's never shy. Yeah. And then Maria is a very, very close friend of mine, and I'm also lucky enough to have her in loads of my classes at school, and we both go to the same school, which is Davenant, so I get to see her a lot. The thing I love about Maria is how caring she is, and how just around school she always asks, Connor, how are you? And I just find it so encouraging, and also I love the way she's just so polite and always wants to help.
Yeah, I'd like to call up Marcus, please. Again. Marcus has always been a happy person with a smiling face and always has a happy attitude. I really like some of these qualities of Marcus because he's always happy. And I've got to be honest, the day I die will be the day he stops laughing, and I hope hopefully that doesn't happen physically. Yeah, but mentally, that'll stay. Marcus will always be my best football friend fanatic. Thank you, Marcus. Yeah. Yeah. Oops. Never mind. Roy, please. Thank you. Even though I didn't know Roy much, I knew he was going to be a great friend of mine. I have already seen this in his character, and always has a magnificent sense of humour in him. In one of the lessons with Mark, he really showed some serious strength in how he can take a lot, especially when someone's dancing and singing in front of him. I've got to be honest, he's very humorous and very entertaining. But although I didn't know him much, I will always know he'll be a great friend of mine. And finally, I'd like to bring up Daniel, please. Daniel's always been a great friend of mine. He's really good at cartoon drawing and has a magnificent Mohican. He always loves a laugh and to give a smile. And originally, he was quite shy when I approached him, but now he's someone who I can talk to and someone I can be close friend to. Yeah, when I first saw him, he was like this. But now he's amazing. He's a great friend of mine. standing here. But thank you. Thank you, Daniel.
Hi, I'm Maria. I'd like to talk about Rose First. Okay, Rose first moved here in the 1st of April in 2008, and for around the 6 years, 6 months and 4 days that she's been here, she's been my best friend. She's always there for me, and like every time she's here, she really boosts my confidence. But when I first met her, I was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to talk to her. I was really scared, but now I can just talk to her. Yeah. What I really love about Rose is that she's always really encouraging. She goes up to people and she always says hi, and she always is like, oh, how have you been? And she's always trying to make you smile. And even when things are challenging for her, she'd always come up to me, no matter what mood she was in. She would come up to me and she would be like, oh, Maria, hi. And she'd have this massive smile on her face. Yeah, so that's Rose. Now I'd like to invite Daniel up. Okay, so when I first met Daniel, he was a very quiet, shy person. And like, I can really see that over the years, he's really, really grown into someone who will just talk to people. And like, always, like, when we had a quiz or something, on the back of the worksheet, I always look at his pictures because they're always really, really good and really interesting. And like, I remember once, like, you can see he's got a Mohican. It was, like, blue at the top, and I thought that was really cool. Yeah. Yeah, so. And last but definitely not least, I'd like to invite Connor up. Right, Connor is probably the kindest person I know. He's always really there, and he always listens. And he's part of the Cundell family, and they're really giving and they're really good. So I remember when I was a little kid back at Lammas, I would always play with Connor and Alex. And earlier this year in April, Alex moved to Norway, and I found that really, really hard because he's like a brother to me. And it really helped just to be able to talk to Connor, and he's always listening and he's always there for you. Yeah.
Okay, first I'm going to talk about Bowen. Bowen is a great friend. He's always there for someone. He also loves to share with others, and he is great at making friends. He knows how to make someone smile. You would know he's a great friend before you even know him. He's a great friend. Yeah. Next, I'm going to talk about Connor. Connor will create one of the best friendships you will ever have. He will care for you, help you, make you laugh, and make you feel safe. He makes everyone around him feel safe and that they have nothing to worry about. I'm lucky to have him as a friend.
Well, I think you can see that the children have built some incredible relationships, and we're really sorry to lose them. They have been incredible people to teach, and it's been a pleasure for us. And the teen ministry are gaining some great boys and girls, I think you'll agree. So if you could just give them another round of applause. Okay, before I ask Jack and Shakira, our awesome teen leaders, to come up and pray for them, we do have a little gift for each of the children who are going up into the team. So if I can ask Maria and Roy to come up first. There you go.
And Connor, Marcus, and Bowen.
And Rose and Daniel.
Right now, I'd just like to ask Jack and Shakira to come up, please, and pray for the preteen. Thank you.
We're going to pray for these guys now. Dear Father God, thank you so, so much for the incredible, incredible church we have here, God. Thank you so much for the family we have here in the East. We're so, so grateful to be blessed, to be put in a great family surrounded by so many great friends, so many great brothers and sisters all around us, God. I want to thank you so much as well for all of the Kids Kingdom teachers, God, that you've really blessed us with. Thanks so much for people that serve so diligently, just looking after the children of the church, God, looking after the youth and helping them to grow up and to mature and to know you, Lord. Thank you so, so much for them. I know they often sacrifice so much, put in so much work, time, and energy, often that we really don't see so much of it. So much of it is behind the scenes, Lord. And I just want to thank you so much for their hearts and the way they serve. And thanks so much to all of the kids we do have in Kids Kingdom, and thank you especially for the preteens I have right here with me on stage, God, who are now graduating up into the teen ministry. I know myself and Shakira are very excited to have them in. I know the rest of the teens are really looking forward to having some new recruits, God, and having new people come in and join our little family in the teens, God. I just thank you so much and all. Thanks so much for Marcus, for Daniel, for Maria, for Connor, for Bowen, for Roy, and of course for Rose, God. Thanks so much to all these lovely boys and girls coming up to join us in the teens. We're so, so grateful. I really pray you can just bless all of them, help them to have a fantastic time, help them to just really warm into the teen ministry, God, to really adapt very well. I really pray you can, with all the other teens, God, just really welcoming them in as well, Lord. And as they can have an incredible time and really just get to know you more and more, God, as they draw closer to you. Thank you so much for all this time. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
Father God, thank you so much for today, God. I thank you for these seven incredible teens that you've allowed to join our teen ministry, God. And I really pray that Jack and I will just help them grow closer to you. And I pray that we can love each and every one of them, God, just the way you do. And I thank you just for the relationships that they've been able to build in the preteens. Thank you just for the preteen teachers that they've just served them so diligently, God. And it's just incredible to see them just changing and growing, God. I pray that we'll be able to lead them, that you'll guide us as we lead them, God. And I pray that all of the teens will just be able to welcome them warmly, God, and really just serve and encourage them. I pray that they can have an incredible time whilst in the teen ministry. I pray that they can all become disciples and live a life worthy of the gospel, God. And I thank you so much just for even allowing us to serve in the ministry and to be able to play a role in each of these teens' lives, God. I pray that we can serve them diligently and wholeheartedly, God. And I thank you just for this opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Awesome.
Wow. Man, some of those guys took the I was looking at some of them take the podium. I thought, all the hugging and the... I thought, man, we are being usurped as older ones, amen? Speaks for yourself. But it's great to have the youngsters just display their potential. Thank you for all those who have served so much, the teachers. I think it's just fantastic. We're very, very grateful. We're going to close with a final song. But before we sing that song, I'd like to encourage the sisters or the women to register for the Women's Day. There will be a table managed by Zainab. I haven't seen Zainab yet, but she's there. There she is. Managed, and I think she'll require some payment as well. So don't just go up, turn up there smiling and ready to sign a form.